Welcome to the Sleepy Cues podcast, where Linda Schmulowitz
and Jessica Sawicki will share answers to all your questions related to your children's sleep and parenting of young children. We are both certified gentle sleep coaches.
Thanks for tuning in to hear the answers to the many questions that come up with the families we work with. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Sleepy Cues podcast. I'm Linda Schmulowitz, owner of Sleep Tight Consultants. Today on the Sleepy Cues podcast, we're going to be talking about why your three-year-old's bedtime is starting to become very late. And this could apply to three-year-olds. It could also be four or five-year-olds, especially children who are still taking a nap. So I sort of think of this as a bit of a conversation about why you might be seeing a three-year-old sleep regression, as some of you may be thinking is happening. I think it's often helpful to think of toddler sleep behavior as sort of a greater manifestation of other behavioral issues that you might be having with your toddler during the day. If everything all day long is feeling like a power struggle, then bedtime is certainly not going to be any different, better, or easier. It may actually be even harder because at that point in the day, your child is preparing for a big separation. They may have been separated from you earlier in the day when they were at childcare or in school, but now they know that this is the point where you are going to be separating from them to go to sleep at night. And often as parents, we have the least amount of reserves to handle challenging behavior. So you might have been at work all day managing all of the different circumstances that were going on there. And now here comes bedtime and this is feeling like a struggle too. Or if you're a stay-at-home parent, you've been managing all of that toddler behavior all day long, and now you're just trying to kind of, you know, complete the home stretch, that last mile, and everything is feeling so hard and also taking way longer than you want it to. So the primary cause of bedtime being pushed very late for children at this age is that they are often still napping. And when they are still napping, it can be a 6-hour awake window between waking up from a nap and being ready to go to sleep at bedtime. And that's even longer for a child over three. So what that means is that if, you know, previously you had a lovely 7 o'clock bedtime, it worked well for everybody, and now you're approaching that point where they're taking a, say, 2-hour nap from 1 to 3, and now you're trying to still put them to bed at 7 o'clock, and you're finding that your child isn't actually asleep until 9, that is because if you do the math, that 6-hour awake window doesn't end until 9 o'clock. And so attempting to put your child to bed too early can lead to, as I always describe it, a longer period of shenanigans. So the first thing I would do is look at whether or not that nap is too long. The maximum nap time or duration of a nap that you want for a three-year-old is about 1.5 hours. Again, if your child is older, that's probably going to be even shorter. It could be for a four-year-old. Maybe you only let them sleep for 45 minutes. And then know from there that bedtime is going to be at least 6 hours later. So I think the first thing to really keep in mind is that you want to set realistic expectations for when bedtime is actually going to be. Because if you're trying to stick with the old, you know, 7 o'clock, you know, we brush teeth, we read our books, and now I'm expecting you to go to sleep, but your child is literally not that tired, you're going to end up with a much bigger power struggle. You're going to feel like they're stalling, that your child is doing all things to avoid going to sleep, and that's because they're legitimately not that tired. One of the things that often complicates this is daycare or school, depending on, you know, what your circumstances are. And so in many cases, children will happily and willingly nap at daycare or at school, but they won't nap at home. And you might feel like the weekends feel much easier because your child goes to sleep without any problem, but now it's the weekdays that are a struggle. And that is because of that nap that your child gladly and happily continues to take when they're in that school environment. So I would try talking to your daycare provider. Most will tell you that they can't prevent your child from sleeping. This, sometimes they'll claim that it's state law that says this. I've never actually seen that. And given that, at least in Illinois, I've seen plenty of providers say that they will either keep a child up or shorten their nap, I do feel like it can't be that it's law because not everybody is saying that. So shortening the nap is really ideal. And if they'll do it, that would be great. If they'll agree to not put them down for a nap at all, or at least just encourage quiet time, even better. Every once in a while, I'll come across a daycare that has a separate room for kids that are going to play during that time, and they'll have a teacher that goes into the playroom versus in the nap room. Honestly, it really doesn't benefit daycare all that much for your child to not nap, though, because that is the time where daycare teachers take their break, which, you know, for anybody who works in a daycare, you know, God bless. It's got to be one of the hardest jobs I can imagine doing. And having a classroom full of toddlers running around all day, everybody deserves a break. Those kids often need a break, and those teachers certainly deserve a break. And so that's why they're not really all that motivated to keep your child up. But every once in a while, I'll come across a daycare that will allow for a separate space. So I would find out if they offer an alternative to the nap, if there are a group of kids, of, you know, other children in the classroom whose parents don't want them napping, then there might be an alternative place for them to have quiet time. I would also find out if you can send them with something to do that's a quiet activity that they can do during quiet time that may make napping less enticing, because some children, you know, you get into a quiet, dark room, you got nothing to do, all your friends are napping, you're laying on your cot, it's pretty conducive to sleep. Honestly, it sounds pretty nice to me. So maybe you can send them with like a sticker book or just, you know, something that they can do that's a little bit more active, but it's quiet, and that will keep them up. If they won't agree to those things, find out whether or not they will shorten the nap. Often the 2-hour nap is kind of the standard. And again, as I said before, it is too long. On the weekends or on days where your child does not take a nap, they can go to bed much earlier. And for some children, 6 o'clock is not too early. And then they often will sleep 12 hours at night. But the other thing that I think is important to keep in mind is that your child actually needs 12 hours over a 24-hour period. And so what that means is that if they're napping an hour and a half during the day, this is for a 3-year-old, then they need 10 and a half hours at night. And so what that means is that they don't need to go to bed as early because all they need is that 10 and a half hours. So that's going to push things later as well. And of course, then if they're napping longer than 2 hours, that cuts into their night's sleep even more. The other cause for a late bedtime is stalling, as most parents describe it, which happens more and more as your child gets older and smarter. So any family I've ever worked with a baby knows that I really encourage parents of babies to keep their bedtime routine very short and concise. And that is because you want to leave a little bit of room for it to grow as your child gets older. So for a baby, bedtime routine could be, you know, a feeding, change their diaper, put on their pajamas, read a book, maybe a song, and now they're going into their sleeping space at that point. And that whole thing might only take maybe 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be that long. But now as your child gets older, they're adding on to that. So I would say the most classic move is wanting to read a book over and over again, or more books and more books, and trying to get you to read more books. As I always say, it is your child's job to do this. It is your job to set the limits. And, you know, then there are things like, I need ice water. I don't know what it is. Lately, I've seen a lot of toddlers that are demanding ice water. They're very particular about the temperature of their water. I need the stuffed animal that's, you know, in another room. I need socks, this and that. And just, it could be anything. I mean, I always joke with parents of toddlers that your toddler, unbeknownst to you, went to a toddler conference. And at that conference, they learned all of the different things that they can come up with to draw that process out, to really keep you engaged with them longer and longer, which, you know, is not a bad thing. Your child's favorite people on the planet are you, their parents. And so they want to be able to spend more and more time with you. It's sort of a classic toddler move. It's like right as you're about to leave, your hand is on the doorknob, and suddenly, you know, your child asks you like some profound question, like, Mommy, tell me the meaning of life. And you're like, oh, well, not that I know how to answer that question, but we would love to have that conversation with you at some other point in the day. But now it's right as you're about to make your escape, and here come those big, deep questions. I find that one of the pitfalls that can happen is that as part of the process, to draw things out. As parents, we might do things to entice our toddler into getting ready for bed more quickly, you know, like a game that you might play or a little silly, you know, dance that you might do to get into bed. And now your toddler has sort of glommed onto that. And now that becomes part of the routine every single night. You have to do this, you know, one little thing. And that lengthens the process in addition to requests for more books, additional stories being told, more songs, last minute requests for food, multiple callbacks after being tucked in. All of that really just adds to the length of the process. And so with toddlers, you have to set very clear limits and boundaries. Yes, they like their predictable routines, and you can establish a new routine that doesn't involve all of those steps, but you can't just spring this on your child right at bedtime. These are things that you want to prepare your child for ahead of time. So I always recommend have a little conversation with them prior to getting ready for bed where you say, okay, we're starting a new routine tonight, and these are the things that we're going to do. We're going to go upstairs, we're going to brush teeth, we're going to make our last trip to the potty. Last minute potty trips are another one that parents struggle with and toddlers always come up with. We're going to get on our pajamas. We're going to read 3 books and we're going to offer you choices of those books from which you can choose from. And then we're going to give you hugs and kisses and then I'm going to tuck you in. Those are the things that are going to happen. Now, make no mistake, your child will try to get you to do other things. Again, that is their job. And so what's really important is that you are sticking with it. And when you get protests and you get pushback, you want to acknowledge that. I know it is so hard when we have to stop reading books. What book do you want to read when you wake up in the morning? So shifting to what you can say yes to, because this is the last book, is a hard no. You know, setting that limit and really following through with that. So creating those predictable routines that your child can really count on are very helpful. I would also set very clear boundaries about what happens prior to being tucked in and now afterwards, once your child is tucked in. So you want to really watch for all of those callbacks that you may be getting. And so you want to try to troubleshoot as much of this before they're being tucked in. So solve all the things that they typically ask for. You're never going to get all of it, and that's okay. But just the things that, you know, are their standard boilerplate requests that you get every night after bedtime. Requests for water. I always tell parents, your child can have a water bottle, something that doesn't leak, in their room that they can access. You're not going to fill it up, you know, maybe an inch or two of water because now you don't want them peeing all night long. But once you put the water in there, that is theirs, and that is what they get for the duration of the night. It's not your job to be your child's server and bringing them drinks. Their socks are on, your books are all read, your songs are all sung. All of that happens prior to being tucked in. And I have parents draw a very firm line about these are the things that happen prior to being tucked in, and these are the things that now we do next time it's time to start the day in the morning. I usually encourage parents to use a behavior modification light, something like the Hatch. Most of the time I have parents set it so that it's red for sleeping and then switches to green when it's time to wake up in the morning. And that is a very defined boundary because now you're saying, we're not doing any of those things until your light turns green in the morning. Once your light turns green, then we can read another book. We can sing songs. I can tell you a story, whatever it is, but not right now while your light is still red. As far as what to do when your child calls you back, this really kind of depends on where you're at with regard to your struggles with your toddler. So if it's just, you know, you're getting some callbacks and this is kind of annoying and frustrating, once you've set those boundaries, you, of course, cannot necessarily ignore your toddler. They don't take kindly to it. They don't appreciate being ignored. And you have to acknowledge them. But what you don't have to do is troubleshoot and try to do all of the things that they're now asking you to do, because that's the kind of habit that we get into as parents, where we just try to troubleshoot whatever it is that might come up in a desperate hope that at some point we will be released in order for your child to now decide that they're ready to go to bed. And so you have to acknowledge that you've heard them, and then from there, keeping it really boring. In your response, something like, your light's red, we'll talk about it in the morning. I love you. It's time for bed. Your light is red. Not doing all the things that they're asking you to do, and know that there may be protests to that. If you're in a situation where they're popping out multiple times, they're not keeping their body in bed, they're coming out, you're having to go back in, you're tucking them in over and over. Incidentally, I would really practice with your toddler, making sure that they can tuck themselves back in. That's another tactic. Tuck me in, tuck me in. You could do it 100 times a night. Children at this age are capable of pulling their own covers back up and tucking themselves back in. And so now if they get out of bed, they need to get back in themselves and pull up their own covers. That's not something that you're doing for them. But if you're in a situation where ultimately the way that the night ends is that you end up laying down with them, if that's not something that you want to be doing, then that's going to require a more involved plan for how to manage that. It's not just going to do the trick to just acknowledge them and walk away. That's not going to fly. So depending on what is going on and how things are playing out and ending, as I was saying, you may need further intervention in terms of having a plan for staying in the room with your child from the get-go and then leaving once they're asleep and then gradually over a period of time working yourself out of the room. So that's where it may be better to start actually in the room, not forcing that separation, and help your child acclimate to you being there, not interacting with them, doing less and less, and eventually not being in there at all when they can tolerate that. But that's a little bit more of an involved process rather than we're just dealing with a little bit of stalling that is just feeling annoying. So those are some tips and tricks for how to deal with three-year-old bedtime shenanigans and really what's going on for your child that is causing your bedtime to get so late. As always, please feel free to leave us your five-star review. And also, if you have questions that you would like for us to answer here on the podcast, please check out our Instagram. It's Sleepy Cues Podcast on Instagram, and send us a DM with your questions. Thanks for tuning in.